This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Are we ready to get into the Word today?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on social media. Not everybody is. Regina's not. Probably most of y'all are. We, on a regular basis, see people who are like posting pictures of their newborn. Like normally it's the mom and the baby, and those pictures are just beautiful, aren't they? You see the baby and you see the mom, and you're just thinking, man, it's just such a peaceful looking picture. That's what I think. But it doesn't mean that everything up until then has been smooth as silk. Come on, ladies, can y'all say amen to that?
Amen.
Because y'all know that childbirth is not necessarily the easiest thing. There can be pain. There can be sweating, complications. I've heard some women say they can get flat out mean while they're having a baby. But sometimes you even have to get cut on to be able to have that child born into the world. In 2025, there were some pretty unusual childbirths in our country. I was kind of looking them up this week, and I wanted to share them with you. For instance, in San Francisco this year, there was a lady who went into labor. So she calls a taxi, and it was one of these self-driven taxis that don't have a driver. I probably would have just had to call a neighbor. What about y'all? But she gets in this taxi that doesn't have a driver, and well, the baby ends up coming early before she ever gets to the hospital, so she had the baby right there in that cab, just her and the baby. And then in Springfield, Missouri, this year, at the Johnny Morris Wildlife Aquarium, there was a lady that quickly went into labor and had the baby right there in the middle of everybody. That's, I'm sure, how she wanted to do it, right? So that was a little unusual, and probably a lot of folks were like, well, we weren't expecting this with our paid admission. But I think the gold medal goes to a lady who actually had her child unexpectedly in Mozambique. And I want to read the little news story for you. This actually, we have to go back to 2019, but it says, during the catastrophic cyclone Idai floods in Mozambique, in 2019, a pregnant woman named Amelia and her two-year-old son were forced to flee rising floodwaters. With no higher ground in sight, they climbed a mango tree to escape the rushing water. While clinging to its branches with zero medical help nearby, Amelia went into labor and gave birth to her daughter Sarah in a tree. In the words of my dad, that's a real woman right there. Dad would say stuff like that. Right there in the tree. They remained stranded in that precarious position for 2 days until neighbors could finally help them get down and get to shelter. Both Amelia and the baby survived and were reported to be in good health afterwards. How does anybody have a baby in a tree and then stay there for 2 more days? I mean, that woman right there, she just needs an applause, right? She probably needs a vacation too, and maybe some therapy as well. But anyway, here's what's crazy about that. No medical personnel, no stable ground, no supplies, just survival instinct and a tree, for Pete's sakes. But I think we can all agree that the birth of a baby is something really special, right? Something really special. Today we're wrapping up our Christmas series that we've been calling the Christmas Family Tree. And from the beginning of the series, what we've been seeing is that God has been up to something really special from basically the beginning of time. Matthew documents the lineage of Jesus in the first chapter of his gospel. And whenever we look at that family tree, and this is, of course, Joseph and Mary's family, whenever we look at that family tree, we see that it had some dysfunction. It had some dysfunction. It wasn't perfect. And it may sound surprising that Jesus came from that, but let me just tell you, that should actually be something we can find some hope in, because some of y'all, you may say to yourself, Pastor Gene, whenever you look at my family tree, holy moly, some of y'all may have had family that have already been on an episode or two of Jerry Springer, all right? I mean, you're like, you don't know my family, Pastor Gene. Here's the good news. No matter what your past looks like, no matter what your family history looks like, that doesn't have to be your future. And somebody needs to shout amen to that, amen? That doesn't have to be your future, because God can rewrite your story. The name of Jesus can break any generational curses that have been passed down to you, to your family members, just because your family has been divorced every generation, or just because maybe they were alcoholics every generation. That doesn't have to be your story. You need to realize that. And we can find hope in the story of Jesus, in the family tree of Jesus. A minute ago, I talked about some chaotic births, right? Even the first Christmas had its fair share of chaos and stress. I mean, let's just think about it for a minute. Everyone was forced to return to their hometown because of a census. And in the middle of the madness, you've got a teenager who's pregnant. Y'all, Mary was somewhere around the age of about 13. They say max she was 14 years old. Now, if any of y'all have females, daughters, in your home that are 13 or 14 years old, you are thinking to yourself, holy cow, how in the world could our daughter have a baby, right? I mean, it kind of scares me. I got a 13-year-old son. But this young girl was pregnant with the Son of God. And so she's got a lot going on. She's with her fiance, Joseph. They're trying to get to Nazareth. It gets dark, and they have no place to stay because Joseph did not get online and book a reservation, obviously, right? AT&T went down there just like it did here the other day, right? But Mary had a lot going on in her life. It was stressful. It was chaotic. And so where she ended up going into labor was among livestock, you know, in a stable or a barn that really probably looked more like a cave. That's where she ended up giving birth to her firstborn, to the Son of God. And any panic that they had, it turned to praise whenever Mary gave birth to Jesus. Can we just think about this just for a minute? She's holding this baby child, this 6, 7, 8, 9-pound baby. And whenever she looks at its face, she's looking at the face of God. Come on, somebody, just think about that for a minute. Last night I was holding Nicole and Tyler's baby. And I like babies a lot, I really do. But I was thinking about this because I had been working on my notes, looking at Wells' little hands. You know, whenever Mary was looking at Jesus' little hands, those were the hands that were going to heal the sick 30 years later. Those little feet, those were going to be the feet that were going to walk on water. That little mouth, that was the mouth that was going to preach the kingdom of God. All the power of God was packed into this 6, 7, 8, 9-pound baby that Mary was holding at that moment. And you know she had to be in awe. She had to be thinking just like, wow, why would the Lord have chosen me to do this? She had to be thinking about that. She had to be thinking about the conversation that she had with the angel Gabriel whenever he came and said, Mary, this is God's plan for your life. There had to be so many emotions just going through her head. Now, as we work down that somewhat dysfunctional family tree that Matthew writes about in the first chapter of his gospel, there's a gift for us at the very bottom of it. In verse 16, Matthew says this, he finishes up with, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Who's called the Messiah. The whole reason behind Matthew writing that chapter was to get to this point, to end up with Mary and Jesus. Every hard-to-pronounce name in Matthew 1, and there are some humdingers, right? Every hard-to-pronounce name was making its way for the Savior of the world. And Matthew wanted to show how God's story of redemption was being told for generations. For generations. And whenever you look at that family tree, y'all, there were princes, there were prostitutes, there were peasants, but every person's life told a very, very powerful story. And every life in that list, every name was significant, but they all pale in comparison to that very last name, Jesus. Amen. Come on, can we all just say that together? Come on, just say the name of Jesus, Jesus. They pale in comparison to the name of Jesus. So this morning, I want you to go to Luke 1 if you got your word with you. And what I want to do is I want us to look at Luke's gospel at an amazing announcement that was made. And this was just after the angel Gabriel had visited Mary. So Luke 1, we're going to pick up in verse 39. It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Let me set up this little story right here. So Mary had just been visited by the angel Gabriel. Gabriel said, you're going to become pregnant, and it's going to be the Son of God that you're going to be carrying. Elizabeth was a relative of Mary's. Zechariah was her husband. So she goes to see family. Now, Elizabeth herself had not been able to have children. They were up in years, but 6 months prior, the Lord blessed them to where they could become pregnant, and the child that Elizabeth is carrying is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. Y'all got all that? Let's continue on. Verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, John, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored?" Again, this is Elizabeth speaking, "that the mother Mary of my Lord should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So Mary is there visiting Elizabeth. Elizabeth is so excited. And again, she's got John the Baptist, who's apparently having a party in her belly because John senses that Jesus has come near to him. Now, based on what Elizabeth said in these verses, I want us to look at three lessons that we can learn from the last two names there that Matthew mentions in Jesus' genealogy. Are y'all ready to go today? Amen. All right, number one is that Mary found blessing in the middle of her burdens. She found blessing in the middle of her burdens. Whenever Elizabeth heard about Mary's pregnancy, this was her response in verse 42, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." But let's get real. Whenever we look at Mary's situation, did she really look like she was blessed? Come on, did she? I mean, let's just think about it just for a minute. From most people's perspective, her situation was not good. Her circumstances were not good. She was an extremely poor teenager who had to explain to people this miraculous pregnancy that she was experiencing in her life. We're going to get real just for a minute. If somebody came up to you, a female, and she obviously was pregnant, and she said to you, "I don't know how this happened," every one of us in this room would say, "We can tell you how this happened." Would we not? And then if they said, "I promise you, I have not been with another man," we'd be like, "Mm-hmm, yeah." That's what we would all do, right? And Mary was in that position. She was in that position. She was pregnant. She had not been with her fiance. She had not been with anyone. And as a result, the whole community was looking at her and she had been ostracized. I mean, in that culture, that announcement was basically a social death sentence, y'all. She was going to be gossiped about. She was going to be disowned. She was going to be ostracized. She could have even been put to death in that culture because she was pregnant before she was married. But let's look at what Mary said. Even going through all of that, feeling like a complete outcast, in verse 48, and this is the Message translation, Mary says, "I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. Wow. What God has done for me will never be forgotten." Isn't that an interesting outlook for Mary? She said, "I'm the most fortunate woman on earth." Even though she was going through all kind of hard times, feeling like a complete social outcast. And again, her and Joseph, they're young, they're broke, they're having to travel, she's fleeing persecution, yet she claims to be the most fortunate woman on the face of the earth. The truth is this, is that Mary was more blessed than she could ever imagine because she was tasked with raising the Son of God. And she got it. She understood it. Even at 13-ish years old, she realized the assignment that God had for her. Her baby was going to restore humanity's connection to God, hers included. And she got it at the age of 13. Now, I want us to think about something just for a minute. In Luke 1, in verse 42, Elizabeth, her cousin, said, "Blessed are you." Blessed. What did she say? She said, "You're what? Blessed." Okay, then whenever you go to verse 28, this is whenever the angel Gabriel comes to see her. Gabriel says, "Mary, you're favored by God. You're highly favored by God." I want you to hear me today. Whenever you say yes to God, whenever you decide that you are going to walk in the purpose and the calling that God has for your life, you will find favor with God, right? You will find favor with God, but I need you to hear me. You may not always find favor with man. Oh, that was better than what y'all just gave me right there. You may not always find favor with man. I know it's hard to believe, but there are a lot of people that don't necessarily love your pastor. Whenever you're walking in the purpose that God has for you, there's going to be times where you have opposition. You're just going to have opposition because the enemy's not happy about what you're doing. The enemy doesn't want you to commit and say, you know what, this is what God's called me to do. I'm doing it no matter what. So he's going to send opposition your way. So you're not maybe always going to have favor with man, but you're favored in the eyes of God, and I will take the favor of God over the favor of man any day of the week. Any day of the week. God's blessings don't usually look like what the world calls blessings. A lot of times it doesn't. You know, blessings from God don't always look like big piles of presents under the tree. It doesn't always look like incredible vacations. It doesn't always look like bank accounts that are just so full of money. That's not how God's blessings necessarily always look. In Matthew 6, Jesus tells us that we don't need to worry about storing up treasures on earth, but we need to worry about or be more concerned about storing up treasures where? In heaven. In heaven. God's blessings are far more spiritual than they are material. Hear me today. But what he has waiting for us is so worth it. It's so worth it. At the end of our life, let me just ask you, what's more important? If God gives you 80, 85 years on this planet, I don't know, 90 years, as you look back on your life, would you rather think to yourself, well, everybody liked me. Is that really going to make you happy? Or do you want to look back on your life and know that you played a significant role for the kingdom of God, knowing that you did what God called you to do, and knowing that because of your obedience to do that, you helped pull people who were gripped by hell, and you helped rescue them out of that so that they could know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? I mean, what's more important? Whenever you stand before God, do you want him to look at you and say, well done? Or do you want him to look at you like, well, there's a big difference. I mean, we want to do what God's called us to do. We'll have the favor of God on our life, but we might not necessarily be loved by everybody. And I've just come to the place that I'm saying yes to God. And if everybody doesn't love me, and it's hard to believe, yeah, I'm okay with that, right? I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? Amen. Number two, Mary praised God in the middle of her problems. She praised God in the middle of her problems. At the conclusion of this passage, Mary actually sings these words of verses 46 and 47. She says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She's actually singing praise to God. She recognized that the calling on her life was far more significant than she could have ever imagined. Yeah, she was young. I mean, let's think about females that were probably her age. They were not thinking about probably having children right then. They were thinking about planning their wedding, planning their life, what they were going to do. Audrey's been to a couple of weddings that I've officiated recently, and she's recently been telling me about her preferences in weddings. And I rebuked her right now. I mean, just, we're not talking about this right now, sister, you know? But, I mean, even at a young age, she's already noticing stuff like this, like what she wants in her wedding, right? Mary wasn't focused on that. She wasn't doing her marriage hashtag. Everybody's got to, Mary married Joseph. I came up with that. Y'all like that? She wasn't worried about that. She wasn't doing all this planning. What she did was she said yes to God, and then all of a sudden, any plans that she had, they took a back seat. Isn't it impressive that a young lady was willing to do whatever God said and just completely willing to abandon any plans that she had? As a matter of fact, in Luke 1:38, whenever Gabriel's talking to her, she says this, she says, I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever you have for me, I'll do it, basically, is what she said. Her plans being tossed out the window and all the stress of being pregnant without a wedding ring had to be weighing really heavy on her, but she trusted God, she trusted his purpose for her life, and she said yes to God. I mean, let's think about what she was up against again. It had to be hard every morning getting out of bed and going in public because of what was going on in her life and how she was probably looked at. It probably had to be hard traveling through the desert on a donkey while you're having contractions as well, amen? That probably wasn't comfortable either. She had a ton of material problems, but she understood her favor with God was found in the spiritual realm. Found in the spiritual realm. And even in the middle of all of this, she somehow begins to just praise God. I don't know about you, but there's times whenever I'm moping. There's times whenever I'm pooching my lip out. Praising God isn't the first thing that comes to mind at those moments. Can we get real? Have y'all ever felt that way? Sometimes we just kind of waller in all that we're dealing with at that moment. But no. Rather than panicking, rather than being scared, she begins to praise the Lord. The Bible actually shows us that praise is the perfect medicine for panic. The word says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. There's actually a Japanese translation of that verse that says, whenever we begin to praise the Lord pulls up a chair and sits in the middle of our situation. Isn't that what we want in our life? Like the Lord just shows up and says, well, I'm here and I ain't going anywhere. That's what we want. Whenever we praise the Lord, he gets right in the middle of our situation, no matter how hard it looks, no matter how rough of a season it's been, he's right there with you. But I want you to think about that as you sing Christmas songs this year. Even if your situation seems complicated, yo, we have so many reasons to praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, we have so many reasons to praise the Lord. And you may be saying, but Pastor Gene, you don't know what we're up against this Christmas. You don't know how tight things are. You don't know what's happening. Let me tell you something. Even if you don't feel like you can write one thing down, I've got a name for you that you can quickly write down. It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. You've got at least one reason to praise the Lord today, amen? You've got at least one reason, and that brings us to our last point. The name of Jesus changes everything. The name of Jesus changes everything. When reading the family tree of Matthew, there in his first chapter, he concludes again with this in verse 16. Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Every name was building up to that name. It was building up to Jesus. Every generation that we read about, Matthew 1, was just bracing for him. Why? Because Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. And in this series, we've looked at some names that really stood out in Matthew's genealogy. Some taught us about small moments, others taught us about God's methods, but all of them praised God for his provision. And this last name right here, it's the climax. I mean, this is the conclusion. This is a big deal, this name. Because here's the thing, there's unbelievable power in the name of Jesus. Unbelievable power in the name of Jesus. Jesus, it's the name above all other names. Hear me today, I don't care what you're dealing with in your life. I don't care if it's cancer. I don't care if it's poverty. It has to bow to the name of Jesus. It's above every name in your life. His name is Jesus. After Mary's son grew up, the world got to see his power on display. The name of Jesus made demons flee. Do you hear me? It made demons flee. It made sickness disappear. The name of Jesus brought rulers to their knees and brought the paralyzed to their feet. The name of Jesus. It's by the name of Jesus that we're saved. It's by the name of Jesus that we're set free from sin, that we're set free from punishment, that we're set free from death. It's the name of who? Jesus. It was true then and it's true today. It's the name of Jesus that can break the chains that have bound you up for years. Whenever you say, I can't go on, I can't get past this, no, but with the name of Jesus, you can get past it. It's nothing more than a name. And once again, his name is above every name. It's above every name. Whenever you've hit rock bottom, whenever you feel that you can't go on, I want you to know there's someone who cares for you. There's someone who's there for you, and his name is Jesus. He's the one who will never leave you. He's the one who will never forsake you. In your highest moment in your life, he was with you. And in your darkest moment, when you felt all alone and it was just you and your tears, he was still with you. He's never going anywhere. The one who is as close as a brother. His name is Jesus. And Jesus changes everything. He changes everything. The first Christmas changed everything because he changes everything.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.